Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. We're glad you're with us. Bob and Kelly in the Southern Bank studio here in Hattiesburg. Luke Johnson and some very impressive guests. They're on the road today at Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel, Mississippi. So-so, Mississippi, I think, to be more precise.
Where things are much better than so-so.
Yes, every day.
Yes.
Southern Bancorp Studio, that's where we're headquartering the broadcast today. And again, the guys are at Southern Equipment and Parts. We're glad you're with us. Dickie's Barbecue Pit opens this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and we're glad they do. Great friends of ours, great place to eat, great place to cater. Your next event, it just doesn't get any better than Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Hattiesburg. And don't forget the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. Or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and that way you know you are never far away. Great guest today, former great Southern Miss baseball stars Trey Sutton and Mason Strickland are on the show. And we're going to kick off the show by talking baseball. Obviously going to have to do something, you know, with the coaching staff, Kelly. They only won 15-10 last night, and it wasn't even remotely that close. Golden Eagles really... We're kidding, of course, about the pitch. Golden Eagles bust out down in New Orleans. Gabe Broaddus comes alive. He's 2-for-3 with an RBI. Nick Monastir, 3-for-4, 5 RBI and a home run. And Matthew Russo bust loose last night. He's 3-for-5 with 5 RBIs. 22 players on the field last night, 8 pitchers. Golden Eagles cruise, Kelly Sander, over UNO.
That's the Nick Monastir that people are used to seeing, and that's what they're expecting, you know, as a team, and frankly that he expects of himself was the performance last night. But I think the best thing about that, and we kind of alluded to it yesterday on the program, when Chandler Best, you know, hadn't pitched in over a year, you know he's got to have some butterflies, real competitor, but his teammates got out and got him some runs early, right, so he can kind of chill just a little bit, you know, and get some of the kinks worked out. And so it was a perfect storm for him to go out and pitch for the first time in over a year.
Luke Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see Chandler back last night. I was really impressed with Chase Adams. Came in and, you know, they went, you know, only went with Best for one inning. But Chase Adams came in and threw really well. 3 1/3 innings, no hits, no runs, no walks, no hit batsmen, 4 strikeouts. And then it was an opportunity for really, you know, the bullpen to be used last night. Middleton went an inning and 2/3. Jake Cook, you know, struggled for the second time outing, but it was when he came in, you know, we were up 8, and I think Oz was just trying to let him, you know, get a little more work. So Landon Payne came in, gave up a couple hits, but, man, when that cutter was just nasty, about 91 miles an hour. The lineup, we should note, you mentioned Broaddus. The lineup was changed again. Oz just shifting stuff around. Broaddus led off the game. Pratt was moved to the two-hole, and then you saw Davis Gillespie back in the lineup. Russo is really last night hit the ball really well, and it was exciting to see, you know, some of that power that he can show down in the 7-hole, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I think last night we saw really for the first time some of that power that we've been hearing about all through the build up to the season and during a ball in the off season, and so the Golden Eagles really really looked good last night. You know, the UNO team, too early to say how good anybody is or isn't, but they were 2-1 coming into the game. They were never really in the game. Golden Eagles taking command early, and again, I think the score a little misleading. They scored some runs late in the game when clearly the game was out of reach. So up next, and guys,
well, before you do that, Bob, I thought we were going to make an official announcement. You had hinted at it, but I thought there was an official announcement. where we agree with people on the internet that the pitching coach and the hitting coach need to be.
No question. How many hits last night, Luke? You got that right there.
12.
12 hits, 15 runs. 12. Just not acceptable. I mean, we're going to have to, as the experts say that we read every day, this got to change.
And of course,
14 strikeouts, Kelly, by the way, 14 strikeouts on the mound. It's unacceptable.
And that's where I was going with the pitching staff. Remember Coach Ostrander on the show Tuesday had said one of the toughest things, and it's all about winning the game, right? But he said, ideally, you'd like to win the game and get this deep pitching staff some miles put on them.
Right.
So last night was a great opportunity to use, you know, 7 or 8 different guys, get in and log some innings and let those guys work. Because I'm telling you, man, that's a staff.
Now, let me advise the internet coaches that the team coming in this week, Missouri State's 3-1, they've actually played in 3 super regionals themselves. So Missouri State is a quality team, but I got to tell you, we should sweep them and we should 20-run them every game. And if not, there's something seriously wrong, Luke, over at the Pete Taylor Park.
Well, you know, people have perspective and opinions are, you know, like feet. Everybody's got them. Most of them stink. But, yeah, this is a high RPI team right now. I know we're early in the season, but, you know, Missouri State through 4 games, the number 4 RPI team. So, I mean, you know, this is at least early in the season. It's a quality opponent coming in. Back-to-back quality opponents because next weekend's Indiana State team hosted a regional last year.
Question.
So, yeah, you look at the Marist series and then but what comes after that. And if we start looking down this schedule, I mean, you've got a lot of big RPI games early in the season, you know, with Louisiana Tech and Ole Miss and Alabama, but another opportunity this weekend to start building a resume.
Speaking of Ole Miss, they played, they played one of those easy midweek games against a little Sun Belt opponent. No, that's right. Arkansas State beat them last night, didn't they, Luke?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know you were an avid Ole Miss baseball fan. I usually didn't keep up with them, but
all
yeah.
these years,
did they lose to Arky State? I didn't see it last night.
I believe they did.
And of course, who is Arkansas State coached by? Former Mississippi State standout Tommy Raffo.
Is that right?
So he's used to.
They're actually off to a great start. I mean, they look like they could be pretty good this year. Yeah. Yeah,
we're being too negative in this opening segment, guys.
Arkansas State brought in Peyton Trawick too, who is supposed to be a young pitching coach phenom, and to really get that pitching staff on track.
And the other Northern school asked Austin Peay to go back home last night after they had beaten them 2 nights in a row.
Good old PU.
Yeah, Austin Peay. So. Okay, enough of
fun. Well, we did in the bullpen last night. We had some guys, you know, making their first appearance of the year. Sawyer Toney threw 2/3 of an inning, only gave up 1 hit, struck out a batter. And I tell you what, I'm excited. I think really now there's 2 options at the back end with Middleton and Payne. And did Payne run out to enter Sandman the other night? Am I just dreaming that?
What's that?
His walk up music, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because like the cutter is very Rivera-esque. I know I shouldn't say that, but it is 91 with a cut. It is a sick pitch, and I just like his presence on the mound and his mixability, and with him and Middleton on the back end, that's just a real good tandem for Oz to be able to go to.
Well, in all seriousness, the team played, I think, well last night. Tough opponent coming in here this weekend. I mean, this is going to be a challenge.
And a shout out to both Jones and Pearl River baseball programs. I know Luke's going to talk to Mason Strickland in a little while. He was a Jones product. Gabe Broaddus and Landon Payne, that you guys both mentioned in this segment, they're both Pearl River guys. So that just shows you know how this tunnel of talent, you know, just keeps funneling into Pete Taylor Park. It's a good problem for Oz to have.
All right, Luke, and, you got 2 big stars there with you today you're going to be chatting with, don't you?
I do, yeah. In the next 2 segments, we're going to be talking to former baseball players from Southern Miss, Mason Strickland and Trey Sutton, who are now the head coaches of 2 Jones County teams, West Jones and South Jones. We'll get to them in just a moment. We should mention a huge night tonight for basketball.
Yes.
Men's basketball hosting South Alabama, and we are not It was almost like we didn't talk about it yesterday, but I think some of those suspensions that we talked about the other day are maybe in question tonight. So we'll have to wait till the starting lineups get announced in the women's game at 5 p.m., but they're at Monroe against Missy Bilderback.
That's a tough matchup for them. You need to be full strength, and I'm not sure that they will be.
And on the men's side, South Al comes in 5-9, and you would think that if there was going to be, you know, a let up in the schedule, this would be it, but all you have to say is it's South Alabama, yeah. You know, who just seems to have our number. But if the Eagles are going to compete for that four seed, which we've talked about ad nauseum, they've got to win at least three of these next four, and you certainly can't lose either one to South Alabama, because that's like giving one back to the field. But the two Louisiana games are going to prove pivotal.
And the same holds true for the women. They need to win three out of these next four road games, and course, that's a tough task. Trey Sutton and Mason Strickland there with Luke, and they're all at Southern Equipment. And is it So-So, Luke? Correct me now if I'm wrong. It's not. It is.
We are in the shadow of Calhoun Elementary School. So this is actually, this is my alma mater. This is Calhoun.
In between
Laurel. Yeah, it's a suburb. Suburb of Laurel and So-So, we should say.
All right, we'll be back. More on the Eagle Hour next.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, second segment of the program is sponsored every day by Campus Bookmart at campusbookmart.net. And Miss Kathleen is the perfect lady to visit this weekend during Southern Miss baseball. If you can't make it to the store, just shop them online, campusbookmart.net. Okay, Luke and the guys are at Southern Equipment in Calhoun. Is that Calhoun? I'm sorry. I keep mixing up So-So.
It's Calhoun. That's exactly Calhoun. Right.
All right, I got it right. And he's with the great Trey Sutton and Mason Strickland. They need no introduction to the Eagle Hour audience. So take it away, Luke.
Absolutely. Here live at Southern Equipment and Parts in Calhoun, right outside of Laurel. Trey Sutton, all-time hits leader in the history of Southern Miss, 2005 to 2008. A much younger Mason Strickland than me and Trey. 2018-2019. But Trey, you're the head coach at West Jones, and Mason, the head coach at South Jones. You guys compete against each other now, but it's at two different levels, and you're actually playing next week because West Jones moved up to 6A. But it's going to be fun next week, though, won't it?
Yeah, it'll be fun. I feel like, you know, when I first got here, we were in the same district, and those are some intense ball games, some great atmospheres, and it's still that way. You know, you play county schools, and a lot of people in this county care about baseball, so it's always a good crowd, good atmosphere, and good opponents that make us better playing them. So
I'll say this as a resident of Jones County. Sometimes the parents were more intense than the players were, okay? But you don't have to comment on that. Mason, what is it like, you know, the way that this rivalry has shaped, but now, I mean, the fact that there's two really, really good baseball programs in this county and Northeast as well, Ian Sharp's out there, and along with those guys. But, I mean, what does it mean for you to be able to coach in Jones County?
I mean, it speaks volumes to where the talent is now in Jones County and where it was in the past. And it hadn't changed. You know, Jones County, I believe, has some of the best baseball in the state, some of the best athletes that around this area has to offer. And just being able to be a part of it is a blessing.
Both of you guys played in Jones County. We should, and you're actually coaching, you know, your alma maters. Let's talk about two guys, talking about the talent in Jones County. And Mason, let's start with you. Let's talk about a pitcher that you've got on your squad that is committed to Southern Miss. Southern Miss fans need to be excited about him.
Yeah, it's Mr. Cole Richardson. Y'all will get to know that name a little bit more next year. I do think he's one of those guys can come in and make an immediate impact. The kid's a giant. He's 6'5". And – I call him String Bean because he's got to put on a little bit of weight. But, I mean, he's gonna come out. He's going to run the ball up to 92, 93. He can sink the baseball. He can throw three pitches for a strike, and you don't see that often for a high school kid. But definitely next year you'll have an opportunity to see that guy pitch a lot.
And he's got a lot of experience. I mean, he's been pitching since he was a freshman at South Jones.
Yeah, so the year before I actually became the pitching coach at South Jones, I was at Northeast Jones, and he was an eighth grader pitching varsity games. Because I can actually remember one of the junior high games that I was coaching, the game after the varsity played South Jones versus Northeast Jones, and he started that game. And that was the first opportunity I got to see him, and we actually gave him the nickname Mike Soroka back in the Soroka prime days. And he looks just like him, he pitches just like him, and he is a great talent that speaks for Jones County.
Trey, let's talk about another number 10 for the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. 110 left, and it was really funny on the stat sheet after the first game. Something messed up in the database, and so Dustin Dickerson actually showed up in the stats column on the website, and it was because your player who left, Dustin Dickerson, that 10 was replaced by another 10, Lawson Odom. And you need to tell our listeners and Southern Miss Golden Eagle fans, he was not a high school catcher.
No, he was not. He caught a little bit for us. He grew up catching some as a kid, but for us, mainly played shortstop and pitched. And then last year, when Camden Clark kind of emerged on the mound, he's our main guy behind the plate. Lawson filled that hole once a week and did a really good job. And, you know, when Coach Creel was kind of getting interested in Lawson, he was like, well, can he catch? And I was like, I mean, he can catch. He can play third. He can play short. He can play left. I mean, he's a baseball player. And, you know, it was one of those things. I felt like if he got down there and got stronger and hit well enough, he was a guy that could fill a role, you know, anywhere they needed, and their need was at catcher. So he got down there, and he was really good for us behind the plate last year too, even in limited work. But I think getting down there and doing that every day has really helped him progress as a catcher. And we were laughing watching the first few innings of the first game Friday, how animated and excited he is back there. But he's really like, that's it. Like, he's just that excited to be between the lines playing. So, it's funny. But you know, if he hears this, just keep doing what you're doing.
How rare is that though? I mean, that is a specialty position that he didn't play in high school.
Yeah. I think it just speaks to his athleticism. And you know, I think you see it sometimes in pro ball, you know, middle infielder type guys that they move behind the plate because they're such good athletes. They got good hands, catch, transfer, throw guys that are able to do that. So it's really just a matter of if you have the athleticism to do it, just getting back there and repping it and getting familiar with that position more.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk skipper of the Golden Eagles, Coach Oz. Mason, I didn't realize this. You were telling me off air. I'd forgotten or didn't realize it that Oz actually coached you for a semester, and it was right before baseball season in 2016 that he went to Louisiana Tech. He actually recruited you to play at Jones College.
Yep, and that's what I was just telling you off air. I actually still remember the text messages I got. I was sitting in the deer stand and. We all got a text message saying that, you know, he appreciated the time but he had to move on to bigger things and he left, and we all had conversations about transferring out because he was one of the main reasons we went. But we all stuck around. We ended up being super successful. But
won a national championship that year, Coach Kirkland. Yeah.
Yeah, and man, Coach Oz is one in a million. Southern Miss is very lucky to have that man.
What was it about him? Because he recruited you. Because you made mention to me off air. I mean, that's why you went there, because you loved him as a person.
It's just the way he approached it, and the way, and it sounds weird, but as a pitcher, he approached the game so much differently than what I had seen before. As in, you know, I wasn't a guy that was going to run out and wake up and throw the ball 95, but he taught me that there's more of a mentality side to baseball than I had ever thought of. And having the best mentality you could, the strongest mentality you could, that can be enough to beat guys. And that's what stuck out to me. I still remember the recruiting visit. And Jones was and still top of the line in my book, but sitting in the press box and him like saying all the things trying to get me to come to Jones College or Jones County Junior College is what I know it as.
Yeah.
But trying to get me to come there, all the things that he said to me about you know, just how he approached the mentality side of it, things that he worked on every single day, and like breathing exercises. That's when I first got introduced to it, and I was like, I don't even know what this is, but it's pretty cool. And just different things like that. He's played a big part, and that's the reason I'm coaching now, is really because of him.
You had him 1 year at Southern Miss, or did you have him both?
I had him both.
So he came in 18. That's yeah, right. So, how cool is that?
Yeah, so he recruited me going to Jones. He left that first semester before season started. And then when I started getting recruited from Southern Miss, Coach Kaye was the first guy. And that summer, the first message I got before I even got on campus was from Coach Kaye. I said, hey, yeah, I'm coming to coach you again.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Well, I know Bob will want to ask you. We'll ask you in the next segment, the conversation before and after the famous Charlotte tournament game. We'll talk more about that. Trey, why we all know it, but you being a former player too and you knowing this coaching staff, what makes Oz such a special skipper?
I'd echo everything, you know, Mason said. I never played for him, but have been around him. Him being, you know, in Jones County and then down at Southern Miss, been around him and had an opportunity to kind of watch from afar how he goes about his business. And I think his results as a coach speak for itself. Everywhere he's been and whatever role he's been in, he's been successful. And we've seen that, you know, down here at Southern Miss when he came in as pitching coach and what our pitching staffs have looked like and the things they've accomplished as a pitching staff. And obviously he was really successful as a head coach at the junior college level. So, you know, that just makes you really confident in his ability to lead our program. And especially I think too, you know, being there for a number of years with Coach Berry, I'm sure some of that rubbed off on him, but Coach Oz is his own person too. So he's probably done things a little different than Forty did, but I'm sure there's stuff he learned and this version of Coach Oz that we have now is probably the best that he's been.
Bob, good insight, great insight from these guys.
No question. We look forward to continuing our conversation with these fine two Golden Eagles. We're broadcasting. The guys are at Southern Equipment and Parts. We're in Hattiesburg. We'll continue the conversation with Trey Sutton and Mason Strickland on the other side of this Super Talk Eagle Hour break.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us this afternoon on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. This segment of the show is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, a great place to take in games when you can't make it in person, a great place to have lunch every day of the week, and a great place to meet your friends just for a good time. 4th Street Bar and Grill right there in the shadow of the rock. Want to say hello to Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. And coming soon, the all-new Genesis showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Hey, we're at Southern Equipment and Parts over in Jones County today. Luke Johnson is with two former great Southern Miss baseball players, Trey Sutton and Mason Strickland. And really want to thank Southern Equipment and Parts for having us back out there. And, of course, for sponsoring the Super Talk Eagle Hour every day. Hey, if I can, before you get back in here, Luke, if I can ask Trey a question. Trey, we're really happy to have the new number 10 you sent to us, the young catcher that's been playing for the team early this year. But it brings back memories every time you see that 10, and I don't know that it's ever going to be recognized anymore as not Dustin Dickerson's phone number. I mean, jersey number, not his phone number. Was Dustin Dickerson the best player you have coached? And if so, what made him different than everyone else, Craig?
Yeah, I've been fortunate to coach some really good players, but he, I think his mentality, and you know, a lot of people, he's that player that if he's not on your team, you probably hate him, and if he's on your team,
I can understand.
He's that guy, you know. But teams need that. Teams need those guys with an edge. Competitors, you know, there were days, you know, that he wouldn't have great days, but I always felt like when he came to the park the next day, he felt like he was the best player on the field. And that was kind of, that's kind of sometimes, you know, Mason was talking about the mental part of the game earlier. You almost got to be a little crazy to play this game. Sometimes even when you fail, you show up the next day and you think you're still better than the guy across the dugout from you. So, yeah, I would say, you know, and his physical talent speaks for itself, and his defensive ability has always been incredible. And his bat really came on last year. So I'd say that he's
very
probably
special.
The best one I've had.
One more question for me with, I know that you live in Hattiesburg. Is that correct? Your home?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So clearly, when you bought that home, you could have had no possible idea that Kelly Santer was going to move across the street. Is that fair to say, Trey?
Had I known, we probably would have looked elsewhere. But no.
Look,
Kelly's great.
Look, Trey, we
always saw Kelly walk.
Just because the property value plummeted, that had nothing to do with me. It was an economic deal.
You weren't about to say you'd see Kelly walk. Now, I don't believe that, Trey, because I don't.
No, we were walking.
Okay,
me and my wife and dog and now baby, you know, because your sister lives in there too, right, Kelly?
That's right.
Yeah, so we'd see him hanging out, and then he's like, hey, I'm going to be your cross the street neighbor down there, looking forward to it. And I was like, yeah, really? it's great.
And now that I'm your neighbor, though, Trey, to respect the fact that you have a baby, when you guys come walking by with the baby, I put my beer under the table so the baby won't see it.
Well, we appreciate that.
he has bingo nights in the backyard, so just be careful of that. All right, we're here with Trey Sutton and Mason Strickland. Mason, let's go back May 27th, 2018. Bob Geddy is worried to death that the Southern Miss Golden Eagles are going to be knocked out of the Conference USA.
I'm feeling kind of nauseous, Trey, when the game started, I got to tell you.
it's such an iconic moment in Southern Miss postseason. I mean, backs against the wall, you come and you throw a complete game, and it was a shutout, and we live to fight another day. When Oz approached you before the game, Coach Barry approached you, and you knew that it was all you. How long did you know you were going in that game? What was the conversation before the game? What was the conversation after the game?
So we were all in a little bit of a panic mode, like I said earlier, because we had just dropped that game to Charlotte. We shouldn't have. We played pretty flat that game. And I actually, Coach Oz texted me that night when we got back to the hotel and told me that I was pitching. And a little bit of panic came over my stomach and mind and all of the above. But before the game, I mean, that's something that I've done multiple times when I was my both years at Jones and even in high school baseball. I've always been a starter. And when I got to Southern Miss, I was not a starter, which is fine. But at that moment, it just kind of just felt normal. You know, I was just going to go in and give my best effort and see what happens. And I guess I got lucky enough to be on the winning end of that. But after the game, little backside information. Today is me and my wife's wedding anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. And my anniversary gift this year. I've never watched that game, like, whatsoever.
Really?
Never. I've never been able to find it. And my wife has found it, and she got it on a thumb drive. And I watched it today for the first time. And after the game, I actually still – it brought back so many memories, because after the game, I watched, and you can see Coach Oz give me a big hug after the team meeting and everything. It's like, okay, I do remember some of this. But, yeah, I mean, he just the way he went about it, I remember him telling me just, like, we don't want you to throw a complete game. We want you to give your best effort, get as many outs as you can, and give us a shot to win the game. And again, I was just lucky enough to be on the winning end and throw the complete game. It was crazy.
It was amazing. It's great stuff to share there. Let me ask you this about Oz, because now as a head coach who was a pitcher, how does he knows the game, right? But I think some people say, okay, a pitching coach takes over, will the offense let off? So obviously not. But I'm saying help the the listener out there that goes through their mind how to understand that.
Which, you know, the big thing, and Trey can touch on this a little bit too, I think at the very beginning of the season, the bats are the last thing that comes about. The pitching should be strong because we're facing live and all that stuff through January. The hitting is going to come along. And you saw it last night. I mean, I watched the game on TV, and, I mean, we hit the ball. Yeah. And, I mean, it's just that simple. And there's no need to panic. There's no panic in it. What are we, 6 games in, 5 games in?
5 games in, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of season left. It's not a sprint. It is a marathon. We will be fine.
But Trey, understanding that you know, from the head coach mentality, you know, the listener or the average baseball fan may say there will be overall program-wise less emphasis on offense because of pitching good, which is nonsense, but help people understand that.
Yeah, I mean, as a head coach, even if you have a pitching background, you still got to score runs to win games. So that's not going to be a point of, you know, less emphasis. And he's got guys there, Coach Creel and Coach Brewer, that do a great job with our hitters. And you know, when Oz was at Jones, I think Creel coached third, you know, third base coach for him over there. So Creel's been, you know, he's in a familiar spot. He's worked with – he knows these hitters. He knows what he's doing. I know a lot of people out there sometimes question that. But he knows what he's doing, and he's now in a even more familiar spot probably for him having, you know, work for Oz as a head coach and being the third base coach and running an offense for him. So, like Mason said, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. We're 5 games in. You know, people were freaking out about Sunday against Marist or really the whole weekend. We only had 14 hits, this, that, and the other. But, we're 5 games in. And baseball is unlike, you know, football, you've got 12 games.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's easier to, you know, the panic is more real earlier because you don't have as many games, but there's going to be ebbs and flows and ups and downs and, you know, a 56 game season.
We actually talked about that yesterday, was people processing baseball as they process football. And Mason, there's no Monday morning quarterback in a baseball weekend, right?
Yeah. No, and I can actually touch on what Trey kind of just said too. You know, I'm a pitching guy. I have a pitching background. And it's kind of funny. You know, we were actually practicing yesterday, and I think I've had to stop myself because I'm trying to put too much emphasis on the hitting side more so than the pitching side, because we want that part to be successful. And that's what Coach Oz is doing too. I mean, he's trying to think it just like we are, and it's going to be fine. That, just like Trey said, 5 games in.
So it's going to be an exciting week. Next week, you guys play each other twice, Tuesday at South Jones, and then you return the favor to Soso on Friday night, March 1st. You guys excited about next week?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Anytime we hook up and play, it's a great high school baseball atmosphere. They've got a great ballpark, great atmosphere. We feel like we do too, so really looking forward to it.
Mason Strickland, Trey Sutton, thanks for joining us today, guys. Good luck to you this season, and see what happens next week.
Thank you all for having us.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Good stuff, Bob.
No question. Guys, we appreciate you being on the show very, very much. More to come from Southern Equipment and Parts right after this. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Eagle Hour live just outside of Laurel in the Calhoun community. Southern Equipment and Parts on Highway 84 West. We appreciate Trey Sutton and Mason Strickland, former Golden Eagle baseball players, Golden Eagle greats, spending some time with us. And next week, yeah, if you're in the Free State of Jones, there's going to be some really good baseball Tuesday night at South Jones, West at South, and then Friday night, South Jones at West Jones. Those are non-region games, and with West Jones moving to 6A, South Jones staying at 5A. But high school baseball is here, and we are thankful that two of the head coaches in Jones County are former Southern Miss Golden Eagles. Southern Equipment Parts cares about high school baseball, and sponsors are remote today here. And we're here with the owner, Ramey Johnson. And, Ramey, thanks for having us today.
Well, thank y'all for being here. Thank y'all for being here, and also appreciate the guys coming out talking about baseball.
Absolutely.
It's that time of year.
It's that time of year, man. A lot going on here at Southern Equipment and Parts. Some new stuff since we've been here last, and you guys are a dealership now.
Yes, we've invested into Kubota engines and Yanmar engines. I know a lot of people say, well, it's Kubota, anything Kubota, but no, it's the Kubota engines. There's a lot of different pieces of equipment out that run Kubota engines. It's just not Kubota tractors or excavators or whatever. Yanmar, same way. Both are real dependable engines, using a lot of different applications in this industry. And also, you know, they've been around for a very, very, very long time. Both are Japanese made engines, and you get real good service. So we've invested and became a dealer first of the year, and we are a full service dealer, so we're able to diagnose any problems or anything with the equipment. So
people purchase the engines from you, and if they have equipment that they need an installation or service on, you guys here at Southern Equipment and Parts offer that to the customer.
Absolutely. And if a customer, let's say, has bought an engine or even a piece of equipment, and he's got an engine problem per se, we're able to, being a dealer, we're able to cover that warranty work as well. So
that's huge. And because I think the average person that has never purchased this type of equipment before, or a tractor, they start looking at one, and man, it's a significant investment when you're talking about the different levels of land management, or just you're doing some work on small acreage or even big acreage. I mean, it's a pretty significant investment for this equipment.
Absolutely. A lot of guys, this is their livelihood, so we're proud to be able to be that, have that service for them, keep them going.
You've got a saying here, and it's on your website, that a company is only as good as its people. And local businesses, something about people walking in here. I walked in here, and your desk is on the sales floor. People see the owner. People see the individuals that are going to work on their equipment. And, that quote really stands out in today, where sometimes you have to make 15 phone calls to actually talk to somebody. Somebody can walk in here, meet you, see you, and know who's going to be working on their equipment.
Exactly. Hands on. Yeah.
So, when we're thinking about Southern Equipment and Parts out here on Highway 84, very visible location, and you've actually got some units on site too that people can see and can get from you.
Yeah, exactly. We do still offer the excavator rentals. We also not only rent them, but sell them as well. And then we got some used equipment as well, used tractors, used skid steers, stuff like that. So
the second half of your company name, Southern Equipment and Parts, is because you got parts in here. There's all kinds of things on your sales floor that people can take advantage of for their equipment.
Absolutely. When I came up with that name, Luke, I wanted it to sound that not just one. I wanted that name to be able to wrap around everything we kind of do. And what we focus on, and it's not just equipment, and it's not just parts, it's equipment and parts.
So people come out here on Highway 84 West in Calhoun and see you anytime. Remind our listeners of your hours and the days you're open during the week.
Yep, absolutely. Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Our shop is here, our mechanics on staff, from 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. And here probably in the next few weeks we'll be opening back up on Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Good stuff. The website is southernequipparts.com, Southern Equipment and Parts in Calhoun. Mr. Ramey Johnson, thanks for hosting us today.
Appreciate y'all being here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bob, it's been a fun day out here.
Yeah.
And before we get ready to go, big basketball tonight for the Golden Eagles.
Yeah, important game for both the ladies on the road, the men at home. Hope everybody will come here in Hattiesburg and root these guys on. I want to thank Town & Country Cleaners, Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners for many, many years, since 1983. And also Mobe Beignet Company at 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg for their help in putting this show on the air each and every day. Kelly Sander is off to Pearl River Community College tomorrow. And when you see Trey Sutton tonight, try to buy him a cake or something to help him offset the property value loss he's suffering.
Well, I keep telling him he's got the age. It'll bounce back. Just give it 30 years. He'll be all right.
And then you won't care because you won't.
My next move will be in a pine box, folks.
All right. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Patrick McGee, James Vernon, Justin Harris. Full show. Hope you'll join us. We very much appreciate you listening to the show every day. Until next time, Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the top.
To the sea.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.